This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I had just gone through a similar situation to what Yankee fans are going to deal with who are going to tonight's game. It's a little bit different because the Yankees have won so many world championships, but it's been a long time now for Yankee standards and 15 years since 2009. But, you know, when you buy a ticket to one of these games, these home games, before the series starts, you're not thinking that you're going to see a potential elimination game. And these tickets are completely and were completely outrageously priced on the secondary market. And there's a lot of people that bought those tickets. And, you know, I know for a fact that, you know, some of these tickets were going for $5,000 more than face value, because I had a buddy who put up his $800 tickets to game five and he sold them for $5,800 a piece. So he's hoping for that game five, but I know it's a decision. I got to understand all things are on the table, but I do feel bad for the people, the Yankees fans that bought those tickets at those prices who are now going to show up to a wake tonight.
You know what I feel bad about? You know, it's the political season, the presidential election and all the other elections next week. And we're just totally bombarded by all the political ads, just over and over and over again. This guy sucks. This woman sucks. Get rid of this person. This person wants to do this to you. That person wants to do that to you. It's over and over and over again. And when you do have a sports team in a specific city, like the Yankees, and they can bring so much joy to this city, you know, like the Giants did when they won their Super Bowls, it was incredible. Just the, like, just coming to work, and here, obviously, because we are the home of the Giants. But the fact of the matter is that that's the positivity aspect of it. You and I felt it here through August, September, and October with the Mets.
Yeah, well, with both teams throughout the playoffs, too.
But what I'm
yeah.
saying, like, the Mets gave us something like we never expected.
And the games were crazy and insane.
And it's kind of like the Giants in 2007,
right?
Because the Mets flamed out in 2007.
Yeah.
They were supposed to be the team that was going to go win a World Series and a championship. And then all of a sudden, the Mets came out, the Giants came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I would also say, like, we felt this with the Knicks last year. We felt it with the Mets this year. And I love it when these teams win, because now all of a sudden everybody's got a pep in their step. Everybody's in a great mood. But today we come to work, everybody's dour, even the non-Yankee fan, with the exception of Eddie. You know, they want the sales department wants these games to go on. They want to be able to sell more. We want to be able to talk about it more from a positive perspective as opposed to a negative perspective.
Yes.
Because we're getting hit over the head with that idiot stick, the political idiot stick right now.
For sure. And we had a lot of distractions, but everything is over now. The Jets season is over. The Giants season is over. The Mets were eliminated by the Dodgers and the Yankees are done. So it's over now. So basically what it is,
I got hockey.
Yeah, you turn the page to the winter sports, and that's that. But it was great. We had been dead here for a long time. Think about last year, neither the Mets or the Yankees made the playoffs last year. You had both these football teams dead as well, so we're just used to that. So yes, we've been given a lot. But this World Series, this is what everybody who wasn't a Mets fan or a Guardians fan, you know, wanted, which was the Yankees and the Dodgers and the both coasts and the big markets. And this is as big for baseball as humanly possible.
And the stars.
Ohtani and Judge and Betts and Soto and on and on and on. And the Yankees have come out here and delivered you ugats. Nothing. It's been a nothing series. Game one was interesting. After that, they've been dead. And this has been a total flop.
I would say game one was amazing.
This is Godfather 3, what's going on right now.
Game 1 was amazing. The last two games, not so much. The last two games, you could feel it, and I would imagine that if you were at the stadium last night and Freddie Freeman goes yard in the first inning, you're like, oh my, it probably, I got to believe it just deflated everything.
Oh, of course. But, I mean, at that moment, I still really believe. I just thought the Yankees were going to hit last night. I mean, silly me thought that the Yankees would actually hit last night. You know, and maybe they do today in the bullpen game. It's too little too late. But, yeah, I mean, it just, it's an unbelievably flat World Series. If you're a Dodgers fan, you love it. For everybody else that was tuning into this thing and thinking, man, we got the heavyweight fight. It's not a heavyweight fight. It's not one bit. This is complete beatdown now.
All I know is you just can't give up, and you got to do what the Mets did. You can't let them celebrate on your field.
Well, it's a little bit different because they got two games they got to win, as opposed
whatever.
To one.
You just take it, like I say, just win today, man. Just you win your next at bat. Make the right play in the field. Throw the right pitch. Don't walk the, you know, if Luis Gil goes out there and throws like three innings and has three walks and he's all amped up. I mean, come on. I mean, like, I don't want to see that.
I think they're getting swept. I think it's over. I think it's done. I think it's like a fighter when they see the guy that's just sort of stumbling a little bit and they got him up against the ropes and it's just like bang, bang, bang. I think they're done.
It's not over yet.
I know it's not over yet. I just, my opinion of this is that they're, you know, and their Yankees are favorite again tonight.
Don't give in, man. You can't give in. I know that it sounds cliche-ish. It sounds obvious and it's easy to say we're done. It's over with. I pray to God that the captain of the Yankees does not feel that way. I mean, you're the captain of the Yankees, man. You can't feel that way.
It really is amazing that after the postseason that Aaron Judge has had, he's still the person who is most favored to hit a home run tonight. Like, I wouldn't bet on that. I wouldn't get anywhere near that bet. There's some other ones in here that are interesting, though, like to hit a home run tonight. That is some big numbers. Because, I mean, they might as well, at this point, you might as well, like, put a wager on the game or something, just something small to keep you interested because it's just, it's over. It's done.
No, I'm interested. World Series I'll be watching.
Yeah, I'll be watching, too, but I'm saying I'm bored by it, so I'm because they're done. The Yankees are done. The series is over. It's 3-0. It's never happened before. They're going to lose in 4 or 5. And, yeah, so it's just like maybe like Max Muncy to hit a home run plus 900.
You know, it takes a backbone. Got to have a backbone. That's all I can tell you. It's not over yet. Just have a backbone.
What do you mean it's not over yet?
Not over. I mean, did they crown them the champions? Do they have the World Series trophy in their hands yet?
I mean, it's over, man. No, it's
not over yet.
Well, they have to just, like, semantics, you
it's
know?
Not over yet.
I mean, just go.
I know the reason I say that, because I've been down this path with the Rangers a number of times, where you think it's over and the team looks lost, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, they catch fire. Now, I'm not predicting that. I'm just saying you can't go in. I know you can because, you know, you're a radio talk show host and this is what you do. You do that for a living. But I'm just saying from the athlete perspective, like you can't ever let that enter into your mind that it's over. You got to go in thinking that you can win. You got to believe it because if you don't believe it, then it's never going to happen.
You're saying you got to believe? Is that what you're going?
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess you could say that. Yes.
Okay. Let's go to Justin in Asbury Park. What's going on, Justin?
Boomer, yeah, good morning. What's happening?
Hey, Justin, doing, what's happening, brother?
Hey, I got a message from New York. It's okay. Don't worry about your sports teams. At least you live in a city that's affordable, it's safe, it's known to be clean and friendly, it's easy to get around, and most of all, you can trust the people in charge. We don't need the joy of winning. We have wives and a mortgage. We don't need an escape. We have kids and zero alone time. Sometimes we play golf and nearly kill ourselves. We don't need positivity. We have an election.
Yeah, you
very
know
well
what?
Put, Justin.
Justin,
yeah.
You're right, man. I mean,
you capture the spirit of the community.
Everything's okay. You know, the Yankees are out, the Mets are out. You just go back to your life here in New York.
You know, it was funny. I left here yesterday. I was walking down the street, right? And I had these four English people come up to me. Very, very lovely, nice two couples.
And they knew who you were?
No, they didn't know who I was. They were asking me where something was.
Okay.
And I felt like, you know, I was going to offer my services for $100 an hour to take them around New York City to show them, right? Mm. And the one girl was you know, she's got the real heavy, thick English accent, and she wanted to know where the Ghostbusters fire department was.
Okay.
You know, and it's on...
Right there, yeah.
Yeah, it's on Berwick and Northmore. And I'm like, well, it's, you got to go up 2 blocks. You got to make a left, and it's right down there. Oh, and she's like, I can't believe it's so close. And I'm like, are we in? And she says to me, she goes, are we in Manhattan? I said, yes. I said, you're in Manhattan. We're down here in Tribeca. She goes, it's a very nice area. I said, it's mainly residential. And she goes, is it safe? Is it clean? I said, and as I said, it was safe. I said, yeah, it's relatively safe down here and clean. There was a dog poop right there on the sidewalk. And she goes, but they don't pick up after their doggies or whatever the hell she said. I said, well, most people do. Some people don't. I mean, that's what you deal with when you got like 8 million people around here.
Yeah, this is crazy. I don't know. Did you see this? The headline this morning in the Post? 4 English tourists killed by Venezuelan gang members. You see that?
No. Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. No.
I almost had you. I almost had you.
Almost.
I couldn't keep my... I couldn't keep
the straight. The way he said it, man, I was like, man, don't say that.
Look at me like, is he effing with me or not? All right. Let's get a couple more in here. Mike in Massapequa. What's going on, Mike?
How you doing, guys?
All right, Mikey. What's happening, like brother?
Hey, boom. I'm trying to get in a quick point to you guys, right? This is what my take on this whole World Series is, bro. I feel like every game is game 7. I feel like game 1, the management was just horrendous, right? If you win game 1, okay, now you do not have to pitch Rodon game 2. You have options. Now he's not pitching in L.A., now he could be pitching back in New York. There was just a tremendous amount of moves that could have been made. Now, the bats obviously are not there. Boom, the one thing I do disagree with you with is the pitching, right? Our relief has been, you know, unbelievable, middle relief to the end. He had made a lot of mistakes, Booney. Okay, I think that call was outstanding game 1. You know, we didn't give up a lot of runs. I mean, we really didn't. The bats just aren't there. But if you win game 1, it changes the entire series.
Mike, if you go back to the 2000 World Series, if, you know, Timo Perez didn't watch Todd Zeal's ball bounce off the top of the wall and kept running,
yeah,
and the Mets won game 1, then that would have changed everything.
Yeah, it's your starting pitching and Freddie Freeman that are killing you. You
know, go on and on and on and on and on. They lost. Now they're going to get swept.
Right.
And by the way, I got news for you. If they would have won game 1, they still wouldn't have won the series because they're not good enough to beat the Dodgers. It's clear as day. So even when they played essentially the perfect game, their manager blew it for them, and they couldn't close them out.
Hey, Rodon and Schmidt really didn't do you any favors. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, neither
one. And your middle relief, yeah, the relief pitching has actually been really good, with the exception of that one pitch by Nestor Cortez when he was brought in game 1 after not pitching for 6 weeks.
Sam in Trenton. Is this the famous Sam in Trenton that's on X that always sends us messages?
Yes, sir. What's going on, guys?
All right, Sammy, what's happening, man?
So, you guys got a... Gio, I know you're the one who can dig up all the dirt. Do we know if Cashman and or Boone has nudes of C-Mac, where he has to coddle them and talk about them and hype them every day? Even I got to wake up and listen to Fat Francesa Blowhard to hype the Yankees, not questioning, oh, Boone, it's not Boone's fault, it's not his fault. Guess what? Like I said last week, they won the NIT, and they're like, hey, guys, now you got to go play in the NCAA tournament, and they're getting their brains beat in. What do they expect to happen? Also, real quick,
yeah,
let's go pick Donnie.
Right, Sam. I listen to C-Mac every morning on Yankees Hot Stove. His point is that the Yankees are always in it. They always win. They're always giving him a chance. And as a fan, he appreciates that. And he ends up defending these guys a lot more than most other people do. Although, he did say at the end of last year he was finally ready to see a new voice be the general manager, and he also thought that if they had lost and did not make it to the World Series, that Aaron Boone might have been gone. But yeah, I mean, it's so hard to truly evaluate this team because you can look at it two different ways, and I think there's truth in both. So back in 2022. The Yankees made it to the ALCS.
Holy crap. They're Final Four in baseball. They made it to the ALCS.
That's not good enough.
They got swept by the Astros.
Yeah, it's not good enough.
Okay, so this year, they make it to the World Series.
And they may get swept.
And they might get swept again.
That's not good enough.
Right. So, but Brian Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner, everybody else, like, well, hell, look, we just made it to the ALCS and then the World Series two out of the last 3 years. How can you, like, there are franchises that would kill to have that. And here we are. And then you got other people going, well, you were there in the ALCS, you were in the World Series, but you weren't even close to winning those series.
Here's the thing. This is called Yankee privilege. Yankee fan privilege is what it is.
Yeah, indeed.
You know that. Indeed. It's a very special fan base. They have deep roots. Those roots run through many generations of family members. And I'm just telling you that their expectations are win or go home and get out of here. You know what I'm saying? It's like if they don't win, if they get swept here, somebody's losing their job. You know that, and I know that.
Actually, I don't know that. I don't believe that either one of those guys is going to lose their job if they get swept. I really don't. Let's go to Steve in Manhattan. What's going on, Steve?
Good morning, fellas. How we doing today?
All righty, Steve. What's happening, brother?
Boomer, I got to give you credit, man. You're not gloating. I know deep inside you want to, but I'm going to go. Listen, I'm a long, not suffering Yankee fan. I'm a spoiled Yankee fan. You know, my family wanted to go to the World Series. I said, let's wait to see if they tie this up. So I am a spoiled, typical Yankee fan. Half my friends are Met fans, and I've been laying it into them, so I'm taking a beating right now. But, you know, I'll take my lumps. You know what? I'm with you, Boomer. One inning, one pitch.
That's all you can do, man. That's all you can do. Don't give up, man. You got to go down with the ship, man, and the ship ain't all the way down just yet.
Listen, I don't want to get tomorrow the broom memes, the broom, sweep, sweep, sweep. That'll be the broom memes. It really is annoying where the Mets aren't in the World Series, but their fans are the biggest chirpers. So, quick funny story. It's so bad. One of my college buddies, like, we're friends for like 40 years. We have a whole group thread from St. John's, wanted to go out on Saturday night and watch the game. So we said, yes, sure. And he's a Met fan and the rest of us Yankee fans. We said, sure, meet us at Flex on the west side of Manhattan. You can imagine the clientele at Flex. He's all not too happy today, not too happy on Sunday morning after he went to meet us at Flex.
All right, Steve, listen, I don't take any great joy out of this. I'd rather have a compelling wide World Series to be able to discuss the moves that the managers make, discuss the big hits that the players are hitting like Freddie Freeman, to come up with a pitching gem from somebody other than a Dodger pitcher that only goes five innings. I mean, I'd love to be able to talk about all those things. This what has happened the last two games, I thought we were set up for a great World Series after Game 1. That was a great baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
It had everything. And it had extra innings, for God's sake.
Yeah.
It had everything. And these last two games have been anything but that.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Tomato, banana, papaya, apple, grape, wild blueberry, strawberry. Oh, my gosh. Sorry, I was just reading my Balance of Nature.
You know, out of all the commercials we run on this station, that's the only one that you actually turn up in the studio. I mean, all the other commercials, including my sports minutes, you turn down in the studio.
That's right.
But when you hear that Phil Balance of Nature, you just can't get enough.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I actually, throughout the day, you know, off the air, going about my normal daily life, I go, blueberry, oh my gosh, and I do it. And, well, I'm Phil Sims. I'm 68 years old. I could recite the whole thing.
I do it.
I just have this obsession with those commercials. I can't get over it. Phil. All right, let's get right to Jerry. Because
people always ask me, what am I doing?
What am I doing? And working with kids, you got to get on them.
I love onions.
All right,
that's
Jerry.
It's amazing that he loves onions.
You know what? I'm an onion guy. A lot of people don't
like
them.
I like the sweet onion.
Yeah, you know what? I like a red onion on a salad. I could throw an onion on a burger occasionally. I'm an onion guy. I do like onions. You like Funyuns?
No.
I used to eat those when I was in high school.
Funyuns. Is that like a chip or something?
Yeah, no. Well, yeah, it's a faux onion ring in a bag.
Oh.
You know?
I used to eat Bugles.
I love Bugles, man. I love Bugles. They are the most underrated, like, corn-based snack there is.
You're giving Al anxiety right now.
I mean, I haven't had a Bugle or a Funyun
made out of
in a
like
very
75
time.
Chemicals, right, Al?
Oh, my
yeah,
gosh.
GMO corn and seed oils, Boomer. I mean,
yes.
I would say I would take a Bugle over a Frito any day.
I like a Frito.
Okay, which one are you taking?
How about the Frito scoops?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely functional.
Frito scoop with some guacamole, yes.
All right, but hey, Bugle or Frito?
I haven't had a Bugle in a long time. I have had Fritos.
So what's your answer?
I would have to say I'm going Frito.
Wow. Okay.
I'm going Tostito, but I'm going Frito, though, first.
Yeah, it's probably been 10 years since I had a Bugle.
But I got to tell you, you know, depending on what golf course you're playing and what halfway house you're at, the cheese on the Ritz cracker is still the best.
Oh, yeah. Or a ginger snap.
You know, I like the cheese on the ginger snap. I like eating the ginger snap by itself.
You know what I do with the ginger snap?
No, what do you do with the ginger snap? You put peanut butter on it.
That's right.
There you go. I know. I should have known it because I've seen you. Like one time we went, I thought you were going to the electric chair. You had about 7 of them.
All right, Jerry, let's get into this whole thing, huh?
All right, brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire, nobody. Here's what was going on before first pitch last night.
Now, the applause you hear is for Fat Joe. They've been having a rap contest. L.A. Had Ice Cube. And so let's go down and let's join Fat Joe.
So bizarre. And then she would react afterwards.
All right, Fat Joe. I didn't know any of the words. John was singing along. He knew all the words here. Jazz Chisholm knew all the words here. Thank you very much.
It came across very poorly. Rap battle. Right.
And now here's Cardi B perform WAP. What do you think, John?
WAP. What does that stand for, Susan?
I don't know the words.
I hope not. Anyhow, that's how the night started.
Now, is that Megan the Stallion?
No, it's Cardi B.
What a caboose on that one, Susan, huh?
I love the nightlife, and I like to boogie.
See,
he does.
Yep.
Well, here he is as the game went on.
And the pitch grounded up the middle. Has a base hit center field. Rounding third is Lux. The throw home is not in time. Boy, that was close. Judge made some throw.
Yeah, but not...
Yeah, he did make a throw, but they didn't have Giancarlo Stanton on second base. So here's
that's
the thing.
Fair.
Little nuancy thing here. Doesn't it seem like the Dodgers are always in the right position, pre-position on a play?
Well, yeah. Even with the restrictions on the shift, they've still found a way to play everybody perfectly.
That's you're amazing. That's amazing. With flavor.
Mm-hmm.
That ball's going up the middle, and there it was.
I just feel like that's another little nuanced defensive thing that they seem to have the pulse of both. I felt like that way with the Mets, too, by the way.
Yeah. Well, they're the best team in baseball, and they're going to win the World Series.
They're up 3-0. They won 4-2 last night. Here is Aaron Judge. Yeah, I need to turn things around.
All it takes is one. You know, all it takes is one swing, one at bat. You know, one play. Everything changes for us, so that's just the mindset you got to have going into this. And yeah, like I said, it just takes one game.
Now, I'm not saying he said any wrong things, but I thought the best thing came from Alex Verdugo about being down 3-0.
I'm just a player, man. I play, and I know how good this team is, and I know that if that team wins 3 in a row, then why can't we win 3 in a row? So that's the way I look at it, and
yeah,
you know, we're just gonna keep going, and when it's over, it'll be over.
That's the answer.
The answer to that question is the Dodgers are better. That's why they can win 3 in a row and you can't. So.
Well, they should think they could, though. But
yeah,
understand.
The Yankees got to take like the little engine that could mindset. You know, like, we can do this. We can believe in ourselves.
Here is Alex Rodriguez on Fox after the game. So what is wrong with this Yankee offense?
Good hitting, Kevin, is contagious. So is bad hitting. Defense, pitching, it all works that way in baseball. But what I will say, there's two things. One, I think they all collectively were late. And I was right here, right behind the dugout. And all these guys were late and swinging uphill. And when you're swinging uphill, it's even more important to be on time. But they're tardy.
They're tardy. Don't be tardy to the party.
What was Who used the word tardy? That's,
exactly.
That should go into that box of yours of unused words.
Here was David Ortiz right after that talking about the atmosphere at the stadium.
Even when Fat Joe came out, their body language from the fan was like down. Like, what's going on here? Yeah. Are we in a funeral already?
How about that? So, I guess
Fat Joe
fans...
brought it down. Brought him down.
I mean, they were screaming, Poppy sucks at him in the pregame.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he probably wanted to take a shot. Do you think that Major League Baseball would rather have, let's say it would have been Padres Guardians, but it would have been an epic 7-game series?
No.
Or Yankees Dodgers, Dodgers sweep the Yankees?
I think even these games, they say they're doing 15 million fans a game. I don't know that Padres Guardians is doing that.
No, they're not.
But an epic, you know, they pump out the stuff on social media. Well, it's a game 7. There's walk-offs. There's craziness. So people are talking about it. No one's talking about this.
All right, so here would be your comp last year. Rangers, Diamondbacks. And it was a pretty good series. How many viewers?
Did it go 7?
They averaged, no, only went 5, but I'm saying in terms
I'm talking about like a 7-game series. Like, I'm talking an epic 7-game series.
I think a 7-game series with the game on the line, the last game of the year, yeah, people may be interested in that. But they're interested in this because it's Dodgers, it's Yankees, it's got the star power, it's got everything that you want, except for, unfortunately, these last two games haven't really felt all that competitive because the Yankees keep striking out. They've struck out, I think, 29 times in 3 games.
You know what? You're right. You're right, because I'm looking at this. So last year, they only averaged 9 million viewers a game. So if you go back, the last game 7, I think, was Nationals Astros a few years ago, and they did 23 million viewers for game 7.
Okay, that's a big number. A lot of stars in that game, though. Juan Soto, I know. In that game, Verlander in that game, right? Scherzer in that series, right? A lot of big names.
Well, a lot of big names, Padres, too.
That was the game that Gerrit Cole was pouting in the outfield, right?
Might have been.
That game 7. Where
I guess the point is that, you know, we're sitting here going, oh, my God, Major League Baseball's got to love this. Yankees, Dodgers. But it's like a fart in the wind so far.
That has no feel to it right now.
Yeah,
that is true.
The first game was great. It's just the last two games feel like, because of the Yankees' strikeout prowess, that those are rally killers. Those strikeouts, especially when players are swinging at bad pitches and watching good pitchers go by. Then you just came in here and told me something that John Boy found out.
I said it was in the weeds, but I did tell you because you mentioned the strikeouts when I walked in, that they looked at. John Boy had this 27 four-seam fastballs for strikes, which was the most all season, or second most. So, like, they're not being very aggressive, I guess, is the takeaway from that. I don't know. But I only mentioned it.
So they had 27 four-seam fastballs that they looked at
for strikes. Correct. And they were essentially down the middle of the plate.
Bad balls they've swung at?
I don't have their chase rate from last night.
Oh, you don't have their chase rate? You got to get the chase rate.
I do not.
That would really help us.
Well, anyway, game 4 tonight. Luis Gil makes the start. Bullpen game for LA as they look to close it out. The Giants played Monday Night Football in Pittsburgh. They lost 26-18. Russell Wilson, 20 of 28, did have a touchdown pass to Calvin Austin, who also had the go-ahead 73-yard punt return for a touchdown in the third. Here was Mike Tomlin. Yeah, we had a few players step up, including Austin.
We acknowledged we needed some plays, man, to break this thing open. And I had a bunch of guys that wanted to be the reason why we were successful. Can't say enough about Calvin, man. I just thought, you know, that's a big play.
Yeah, it was a huge play, as a matter of fact. Both of them were, actually.
Yeah, you almost broke the punter's leg.
Yeah, that is very true, too, which is really hard to believe that a penalty wasn't called on that. Here's Brian Daboll. We played hard.
I was proud of the way they competed for 60 minutes. We knew this is a tough place to play. There was a lot of good things. Just not enough of them.
No, not enough of them at all. And I see he's being praised on social media for the 12 men on the field to get the clock stopped with 2:40 when it would have been short of timeout. So he was into it right to the end. But unfortunately, you had a couple of turnovers in the final 5 minutes as Daniel Jones, the strip sack, and then the interception. And so that be that. The Giants now 2-6. The Steelers 6-2. Just quickly, you want to hear Trayvon Diggs with Micah Parsons?
Sure.
So we know what happened with the reporter the other night after the loss to San Francisco. Here he was on why it bothered him so much what the reporter wrote on social media about the way he played a specific play.
You know, I feel like I played my hardest game yesterday. I felt like, you know,
I did everything I could. I felt like, you know, I was tackling, setting the edges, you know, just doing everything to help my team win. And for him to just try to throw that on my name, it just didn't sit right with me because you were, like, completely wrong.
Completely wrong. You thought it was the guy going after clicks. Here was Mike McCarthy was asked about this situation. He is still the head coach.
This generation, you know, that's part of the world they live in, you know, the social media world. And you have to manage that. You know, that's part of being a professional athlete, and that's part of representing this organization properly.
No, it certainly did.
Oh, look at that. That stuff has to do with football. My Instagram algorithm just has boobs, golf, boats, more boobs, and occasionally a dog. So I would just suggest do the same thing.
It really wasn't of social media. A guy asked them a question straight up, right?
He saw what he posted on social media, and Diggs then saw him and then confronted him.
All right, okay.
That's how that went. Cavaliers beat the Knicks 110-104. Darius Garland, 34 points. Knicks in Miami tomorrow night. You've got the Nets playing the Nuggets tonight on 94.7 The Block and streaming on 94.7 The Block on the free Odyssey app. Rangers in Washington. The Islanders take on the Ducks.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I'm going to read a quote from someone that we've all met. And he's talking about someone that is very close to us. All right? So I want you guys in on this as well. I'm going to read a quote from someone that we all have met and know who is talking about actually two people that we know very well. All right?
Oh, I love this game.
And this is in the New York Post. All right?
Okay.
So this is not just a quote. So this is an article written in the New York Post. All right, ready?
Again with the New York Post. Like, you hit me with that earlier and it was fake. Is this not fake?
Yeah, no. Those four English tourists were not killed by Venezuelan gang members.
Okay.
No,
okay.
This is true. I'm looking at the article here. This is true. Flat out, yes. I miss them. They were an integral part of, in terms of what we had done and the relationships we had. We've all met this person. They're talking about two people that are close to us. Flat out, yes, I miss them. They were integral in terms of what we have done and the relationships that we had. Any guesses? Any guesses?
We're guessing who said it or who they're talking about.
Either one I'll take. Like both, but either one.
I'm going to say they're talking about Mike and the Mad Dog.
Okay. No. Not Mike and the Mad Dog. Even closer to us than Mike and the Mad Dog.
Closer to us.
Even closer to us. I miss them.
Is it Olive talking about Bart Scott and Chris Carlin?
Is it Joe Douglas talking about Rob Saleh? And I don't know, did somebody else get fired with Rob Saleh?
I don't think so, no. All right, I'll give you one more guess. Tomorrow. Or one more hint. Tomorrow. What happens tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Ash Wednesday?
No, that's a Lent situation.
I think I know the answer.
Do you?
Yes.
All right, you want me to say it or you want to say it?
I think this is about Boomer and Phil Sims.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
And who said it?
James Brown.
Oh, that's very nice of JB to say that.
JB, flat out, yes, I miss them. Boomer and Phil were integral in terms of what we have done and the relationships we had at the NFL today.
Yeah, and I still talk with him and text with him and coach, and it's all good, man.
And he said, nobody worked harder than Phil Sims, knowing all the X's and O's. He's a gym rat in that regard. Boomer Esiason could talk about any aspect because he's well-rounded on sports in general. He brought a lot of value.
Oh, that's great. We love JB.
You a little sissy.
And I will say, I'm going to shout out my man who wrote this article, Will Zimmerman, because at the very bottom of this article, it says, Sims and Esiason are keeping busy elsewhere. Esiason hosts New York's beloved Boomer and Geo sports radio show.
Beloved.
On WFAN.
I love that.
Beloved.
I don't, you know, it's amazing.
He does wear them. Wow. No. He wears his wife's eyeglasses.
I do it.
I'd do it.
Oh, that's so funny. I forgot about that in Vegas. That was amazing. Yes, you were saying?
Yeah, I just forgot what I was saying.
Beloved.
Oh, I saw Carton last night on
yes,
TV.
On the broadcast.
And
yeah.
Joe Davis was like, oh, there he is, the most popular morning TV show.
He said the best TV morning show.
I thought it was most popular.
I don't think he said most popular. I think he said the best TV morning show there is.
Morning Ball, or what's it called?
Breakfast Balls.
I think it's called Schlereth's Boys. Schlereth's Balls.
No. It's breakfast. it's what is it?
Breakfast Balls.
Okay.
Yep. So they, they put it on Fox and it looked like...
Yeah, he's moving around. I heard he was on Fox News this weekend, too.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I guess they told him to just look natural because he wasn't waving or smiling or anything. They should
have put him back in the mask that we had him in when we actually went to
the game. And then he was just watching a game, like looking ahead, watching the game, like nodding a little bit. So it must have been like, act natural, like you're just watching a game. They must have told him that.
Normally, he would have his back to the field and he'd be worrying about what he's eating and what we're eating. Right. And
that must have been before the fourth inning when he left.
We've all been there with him, yes.
Yeah, that was funny that they put him up there. Parkins and Schlereth can't go to the game, they should have all been there. If they're going to do a big promo on the Fox Yankees Dodgers, yeah, where are those two guys?
You just got to remember, though, he just went into the Hall of Fame.
True.
That's the difference. Those guys are not, well, they may be in different Hall of Fames, but they're not in the New York State Broadcasting Hall of Fame like Craig just went in.
I mean, if you want to really promote that show, you put Danny Parkins in there, you put Schlereth in there, and you have all three of them.
Yeah, but they didn't do that. Maybe they didn't have seats for him.
Oh, come on. They would have found seats. It's Fox, for crying out loud.